cracked vessel, Odo. We shall know their names. Speak, One Eye.
My name is Ryan Carter, and I am the uncle of the Baron of Front Royalville in the Shans. This is Christy Roth and Mildred Wyeth. J.B. Dix here, Doc Tanner, and...
Ryan was suddenly conscious that this was what everyone was waiting for. There was a breath of tension that hadn't been present before.
And this is Jack Lauren.
Toraldson nodded slowly.
Jack Lauren? It doesn't sound like the name of one of the people here.
Come from Swamp South.
Not a Norseman?
No, not much a horseman.
The blooming smile on the face of the Viking leader began to wither and fade.
Norseman, a man from the north.
Oh, I said south.
Yes, yes, but your hair. Every man here in this ville has yellow hair. But no man has hair as pure and white as yours. It's a miracle to behold.
You talked of a wag breaking down.
Yeah, Odo.
We do not have any such vehicle, but we know of them from old times. Tell us more.
Sure. We were traders. The wag had a failure of the engine. We got stranded. None of us had ever been up this way before. Found a hot, stinking jungle, then these ants came, and we got kind of driven up the mountain, over the top into the fog and down again. And here we are.
Jorund looked at Ryan, then turned his eyes to each member of the party. He lingered longest on Christy, whose sentient hair was beginning to relax and uncurl, revealing its full flaming beauty.
Killer ants? We hardly ever go up and over the crest of the mountain. On the other side lies many-faced, sharp-toothed, swift and silent, long-sleeping death.
The ants sure killed a dog on the far side.
Odin!
J.B. looked at the boy in the front of the crowd.
That was the name on a kind of medal around its neck. Your dog, was it, son?
What color was he?
Mostly white.
Odin wasn't white, so it cannot have been him you saw, Outlander.
Bones, son. Ants left nothing but bones, and they were sure white. A few bits of fur left were brindled.
Oh, no!
The lad fell to his knees and buried his face in his hands.
Then that's why he didn't come back last night. He was...
Baron Toraldson banged a fist on the long oak table in front of him.
By the runes of Balethorn! Is this your son, Sigurd Harefoot?
The boy looked up, his face wet with tears.
I'm sorry, Father. Sorry, Carl Toraldson. Forgive me for my weakness.
Weakness? Milksop wench! You whining bitch! Your dog dies and you howl as if your honor was lost? You were warned not to take the name of Father Odin for a cur? Look what ill fortune you have brought on yourself.
The boy stood straight, wiping away the signs of his weeping.
Forgive me.
Nay! You behave in such a feeble, womanish way in front of outlanders, and even in front of their own women? What must they think of the warriors of Markland? Until you can learn the true ways of manhood, you had best spend some time with the maids, doing their work until the end of the month. And you will not ride or sail or walk with men until that time is spent. Go!
He keeps up this anti-women shit, lover, and I'm going to help Mildred on her suggestion about some thin slicing.
When the totally dejected boy had left the hut, the Baron brought their first meeting toward its ending.
I will tell you this, outlanders. In the history of this ville, strangers have often had a short shrift. We keep to our own. But in the past year or more, there has been much visiting with the gray-haired Widowmaker. The waters have not always been clean. Men have wasted to the bone, and we are falling short of numbers who can hold a blaster or sword. You and the one with the eyeglasses and the snow-headed boy could join us if you pass the testings.
And what of me?
The Viking looked at him and shook his head slowly and sorrowfully.
I know not what fire still smolders in your belly, old man, but you have seen too many winters to be a warrior.
Doc was about to bark back when he caught Ryan's warning glance and closed his mouth again. The Baron walked to Doc and patted him on the shoulder.
But lament not. Old men may sit by the fire and spin tales of their courage and pass on their wisdom to the young men. And the maids will bound to do their bidding at all times.
Doc looked at Mildred's shadowed face.
Then it might not be so bad. I can get our maids to leap about some.
Ryan was next to the black woman, and he was the only one who heard her mutter,
"Fuck you, Tanner."
Yoren stared at Ryan, who realized with a sense of some shock that the man's talk of their joining his warriors wasn't just casual friendly conversation. This was a serious invitation. But like a lot of invitations in isolated vills, it came hedged around with barbs.
"Thanks for the offer, Baron. You mind if we take some time to talk this over some?"
The Norseman nodded.
"You may have this night. At dawning, you will tell us whether you will stay here as our brothers, or whether you will choose not."
Once again, Ryan knew the difference between a threat and a promise. This one was both. The fire in the hut blazed up as one of the men kicked some logs into its center. It was very hot, and Mildred reached up a casual hand and pulled down the hood of her sweater, for the first time revealing her face to the Vikings. And everything went to hell.
"The Raven of Death!"
There was pushing and jostling near the door, and at least half of the warriors of Markland fought their way outside. Even the Baron took three steps back, half drawing his sword, as though he feared that Mildred might physically attack him. Instantly, magically it seemed, guns appeared in the hands of Ryan and his party. The only person in the large hut who seemed unconcerned was Mildred Wyeth. She looked calmly around at the fearful confusion, shaking her head slowly.
"I've made some spectacular entrances in my time, but this has to be the best. What?"
Her skin is as black as jet. She is the spirit of death, the Widowmaker herself, and you have brought her among us."
Yorund pointed accusingly at Ryan. More and more of the leading men of the Vale were sliding out of the hut, stumbling over one another in their eagerness to get away.
"Have none of you ever seen a black person before? It's nothing to be frightened of."
"Of course it is, Outlander fool. I have lived through more than 30 summers and I have never seen anyone with black skin. Except for those who are bitten by the jungle snakes, or those whose corpses rise swollen from the depths of the water."
The Baron was shaking with nerves.
"None of you have ever left this vale and traveled through the Deathlands?"
"No. Markland has always been here. It was here before the long winters and it is still here. It will always be here. No man leaves, and what happens beyond the water or beyond the hot forest is nothing to us."
"You must trade with other vills along the coast here."
"No, it would be unclean and would damn us. There is a vill 40 sea miles off to the east. There have been fights over the years, and they get stronger as we grow more weak. One day. But the Black Witch must go. Nay, she must die."
"Look, Peck.
Be a lot of blood spilled if you try that."
"We are many."
The Baron glanced around and saw that only a handful of his men remained behind.
"Stay, you dogs! Come back!"
It was a delicate, balanced moment. Ryan knew they had overwhelming firepower on their side, but it would be a desperate gamble to try to take on an entire vill. It wasn't the initial firefight that was the problem. It was getting safe away afterward without being sniped off.
"Better not try it. We got blasters that can take out a dozen of you just like that."
One by one, the blonde warriors came sheepishly back into the meeting hut, most of them trying hard to avoid looking directly at Mildred Wyeth, who still stood among the friends, arms folded, a faint smile on her lips.
"No man's face is black, and no woman's. It is not natural, not natural."
The young man with the hunched back pushed to the front of the others, his slim sword drawn in his right hand.
"Waste not breath, Carl Yorund. Empty words from the Outlanders. Legends tell of black witches, Valkyries from the pits of darkness. This is why there have been deaths, sickness, two-headed babies whose guts spilled from them."
Mildred glanced over to Ryan.
"Sounds like radiation malformations. It would be interesting to try to find out why."
"She mutters a curse! Fork-tongued, red-teeth, blood-eyed, black-skinned cursing! Burn her! Offer her to the gods! What do you say, my brothers?"
Every man waved either a sword or a pistol. Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger of the Sig Sauer, but he held his fire.
"I tell you that dark skin is normal all over the Deathlands. I've met many such men and women, all colors of skin. You will not harm her."
He made sure that his gun pointed at the stomach of the Baron of Markland.
"Burn them all!"
Ryan put a bullet into the earth, precisely between the hunchback's feet, splattering him with earth. He jumped a yard in the air, then nearly fell into the fire.
There'll be a lot of death.
Jorund Torldsen took a cautious step forward.
I see you are skilled with your blaster, Outlander. But you will not make a change in our laws. There cannot be a non-man with black skin in Markland. It has never been, it will never be.
I would venture to suggest to you that your statement is not correct, Mr. Torldsen. I have great knowledge, almost personal, you could say, of the times before the Long Winters, and I assure you that a person with a black skin was as common as a person with blonde hair. Probably more common. It just happens that Markland has survived in its own little Aryan way.
What do you say, old man?
I say that, unless my supposition is flawed, there must once have been blacks here in this vicinity. But after the great nuclear war that devastated our land and destroyed the American way of life, there must have been strife. Fights between vills, between social groups within a particular vill. I believe that here the blonde man ruled and the black man has vanished.
Where does he come up with this crap?
No. We have always been Norse here in Markland. Through my memory and that of my father and that of his father and...
Your verbal excrement. He said and he said and he said. All of that's like history written by the winners. We're talking here, my friend, about events from a century gone. None of us, even I, can conceive properly of the horrors